Today, I'm going to read to you from the New Revised Standard Edition, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Word of God. It's kind of funny. Church goes a lot faster when your part's coming up. I was trying to relax over there. Next thing I know, it's my turn. Fortunately, I wrote something down. I'm a year or more into a preaching class, which means I'm no expert yet. So we're gonna see what happens. This is gonna be fun for all of us. In my last class, we were all practice preaching on each other, and we're all nice to each other because we're all practicing preaching. So you know. And at some point, the fellow that's running it, he said, "You know, you can give a good message in 6 minutes." I think he was implying that I spoke too long. It's not going to be 6 minutes, so forget that. It's going to take a few minutes longer than that today. I have to admit to, in this time, being fearful. I have fears, real fears. I have fears for my LGBTQ friends. I have fears for my friends and neighbors who have been here for one generation or less. They've been removed from immigration where I have been here 3 or 4 generations, or my family has. And I have fear for them. I'm also anxious. Gosh, the cost of everything I buy seems to be going up and up. And I worry, am I going to run out of money? I mean, I'm okay right now. But when the cheapest thing on the dollar menu is $2.50, I become anxious. I'm retired, and I'm worried that in my retirement, the money I have won't be enough. I don't think that these fears or anxieties are unique to me. In fact, my old friends and I sort of sit around and talk about these fears, anxiety, a lot. Mostly so that we feel more fearful and more anxious, I suppose. I'm also sad and a little disappointed. The news today, the war, the killing, it's upsetting. And because of that, I got something going on. They're the voices in my head. Now, as I started reading about this, what I found out is that not everybody has voices in their head. But just because I do doesn't mean I'm crazy. Put your phone away. We're going to be all right. You don't have to call anybody. But for me, it's a constant inner dialogue. I narrate my life. My head talks to me all the time. What I find out is that For some people, it's just more abstract or visual or sensory. But we all have some sort of inner voice that's talking to us. And for me, as you might imagine, it's words. Lots and lots of words. It's funny, my son John, he talks to himself and he has no shame about it. He talks to himself out loud, and sometimes he'll be waiting for me. He'll be like, John, are you coming? He'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I was busy talking to myself, which I think is pretty cool. I use talking to myself for problem solving, for memory retrieval, for chastising myself when I can't remember something. And if that was the only voice in my head, I think I'd be fine. But it isn't. There's another voice, my conscience. It's a different voice. I mean, it doesn't sound different, but it's saying different things. When I was a kid, I thought your conscience was Jiminy Cricket. Some of you may be old enough to think the same thing, but it's not. It turns out that it's our moral compass. Psychologists call it the superego. It's our empathy and our learned rules. It's telling us what's right and what's wrong, sort of keeping us on the track that we've set for ourselves with our morality. And that also is a voice in my head. And maybe if it was just those two voices, the narrator and the conscience, I'd be good. But it gets crowded up here. There's another voice. Philosophers talk about the tyranny of the mind. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression. For me, it's the inner critic. And he is loud, and he is not cool at all. The inner critic is my fear and my ego. It's a harsh, self-destructive dialogue, and it's always there. You're like, how could this be me? And yet he's always there. You just ate too much. You just said the wrong thing. You shouldn't have sent that email. Why did you forget? And he doesn't seem to want to stop. The tyranny of the mind. And so there's that other voice. And so, I mean, these voices are all happening all the time. It's a crowded place. It's loud. Honestly, that last guy, man, he's a real party killer. He is. I try to ignore him, but he comes back. There's one more voice, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. And I want to talk for a minute about a different gathering. I want to talk about Jesus and his 12 friends, his disciples, his students. They're all hanging out together. They've been hanging out together for 3 years. They're great friends. They love each other. I can only imagine the thousands and thousands of conversations they've had. And although the ones we read about in the Bible are the important ones, I bet they had a lot of unimportant conversations too. They spent a lot of time in boats and near lakes and on mountains. And this conversation they're having in a room, I think it's an upstairs room. There's 13 of them, plus people bringing in, you know, food and drinks. So it's probably pretty crowded and pretty loud, just like the voices in my head, a lot of people talking. But Jesus is there with his friends, and he's explaining to them, hey, God's plan is coming to an end. Here's what's going to happen. I am going to be betrayed, crucified, and die. Can you imagine sitting with your friend and then he hits you with that? And he's been kind of telling him, but he's telling him again. And he's like, now I will raise from the dead. Okay, good. He says, but then I'm leaving. And honestly, they're kind of freaking out. All the side conversation stops. They all stop, and now they're going to listen to their friend, their mentor, their teacher. They all sort of thought that when Jesus showed up, he was going to help them sort of, you know, help save them from the chaos of the Roman Empire. And he was going to really be the guy that, and now all of a sudden he's going to leave. Now they've all given up lives. They've left their professions, their homes, their families to follow him for 3 years. And all of a sudden he's hitting them with, I'm leaving. I'm going to be gone. He tells them a lot of nice stuff to try to comfort. He tells, I go before you. I'm going to make a place for you. I'm not leaving you behind forever. You're going to come with me. When it's your time, I'll be there, and I've already set a place for you. So that's good. But they're still like, hey, yeah, but you're not going to be here? Like, come on. He's like, okay, one more thing. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, another person. And there's some complicated conversation about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all one. They're all God. And frankly, as beginning preacher, I can't begin to talk about how that complicated piece works out. But I can tell you what Jesus says to them in the passage that we heard today is, I am going to ask my Father to send to you a Holy Spirit, an advocate. Well, a friend, a counselor, a truth teller, somebody to be with you. Even when I'm not here, they will be with you. They will be in you. Because you believe in me, they'll be with you. And he didn't just mean his 12 friends at that party that day. He meant all of us. All of us. That's a good deal. So he's going to leave this guy behind for us. You got to believe that. So let's go back to those crowded voices in my head for just a minute. See, there's one more voice there that's harder to hear. And I'm not sure it's in my head. Maybe it's in my heart. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's there. So how do I hear it? Where can I find it? How do I get it to calm the other voices? What does it sound like? Well, I know what it feels like. You've felt it. That sense of peace, love, truth, transformation. That settled moment when you realize the thing that you're going to do is right. Or that idea out of nowhere that suddenly seems so perfect. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to always hear it, but it is there. It is with you. So what are some ways that we can sort of make sure that we spend some time listening to the Holy Spirit? This is something philosophers and priests and common men have talked about for thousands of years. Some of the common things that they suggest, and when I say these, some of these you'll go, you know what, that does work for me. How about the quiet walk? How about gardening? How about gratitude? How about helping another? How about when you're in community doing stuff with friends or family? How about when you're in church? Maybe here someday. Maybe when Pat's playing the organ or Micah is singing, because we can find the Holy Spirit in music. Let's not forget, there's not many posters in the church, but one of them says, pray without ceasing. And I think that that's an indicator of a place where we can find the Holy Spirit. That quiet prayer. You'll feel calm, peaceful, settled, loved, seen. So it's Mother's Day. You probably know that, yeah? I remember when I was a child, but I certainly remember my own children when they were little and they were fearful to go to sleep in the room by themselves. And what would moms do? Dads would do it too, but it's Mother's Day. So what would moms do? Moms would say to them, it's gonna be okay. I'm going to be right here. I love you. It's going to be all right. I'm right there. go to sleep. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Do you remember that? That's what God is saying to you. Don't be afraid. I see you. I love you. I am here. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for helping me get through that and helping them get through that. We appreciate you being present with us, seeing us, and loving us. Amen.